This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I'm speaking with Richie Sambora, guitarist with Bon Jovi. You need no introduction at all. Richie, how you doing?
Come in, Berlin. I'm doing well. How about you, buddy?
I'm fantastic, man. Good to talk to you.
You too, bro.
Before we get to our mass of reader questions, I wanted to ask you first about this film soundtrack that you're working on for a movie called The Tournament.
Yeah, I did. I've been just doing a lot of that kind of stuff. Basically, I was doing some background music for that particular movie. And I've been working on other movies and other TV projects and, writing again with John. I mean, John and I have an album's worth of material, and we're about to take the band in the studio in January. So much for time off, you know what I'm saying?
There you go, man. Is it a fun experience writing for the movies?
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I've never done it before. Obviously, I've done a lot of soundtrack stuff. You know, as far as putting songs on particular soundtracks, both my solo works and also the Bon Jovi stuff has been on many, many movie soundtracks. But I've never done the actual background music, so it's a lot of fun. You walk into a studio and you're looking at this big giant screen and they show you the scene that you have to, make the music for to set the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a band and you just go. You start making stuff up. And it's, I was good at it. I really, really enjoyed myself. And they hired me to do some other stuff. So I must have did pretty well. And I enjoyed myself. It was something I had never done. It was one of the few things in this business that I've never done.
For something like that and for Bon Jovi, how do you demo? I mean, do you work with GarageBand or do you have a home studio set up, I imagine? How do you work?
No, I like to go to work. I really don't have anything set up in my home. I like to actually go out of the house to go to work. My house is more like a sanctuary of non-work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I like to write in my house, but I don't like to actually record here. So we just go to a studio. You know, John has a studio in the premises of his house in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually take the band in there. Or, as of late, we've been working with producer extraordinaire John Shanks.
Yep.
And John has a studio out here, Studio B in Henson. We do our demos there. And actually, I fail to see how we call them demos after this, because usually they become records. At this stage in our career, anytime you roll tape, or at this point, roll Pro Tools or whatever we were working on that particular day, it can be a hit record. It's usually, we just usually record, it's usually good stuff. It's not, you don't record demos anymore. We just walk in and actually make the record.
What do you make of this lawsuit? This disgruntled Boston Red Sox fan is suing you for $400 billion?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think it's just great press. He's out of his mind, obviously. You can tell that it's just crazy because, first of all, the song would never garnish that much money.
I mean, I know
in the same ballpark. And he's saying that John was doing something for John Kerry back in, the last presidential election or something.
Right.
And he heard something. He had some song called, I don't know. I haven't even been paying attention to it, quite frankly. But the musicologist came in already and said there's not nothing besides the word really and love or something, which is, obviously nothing to be sued for as far as any kind of lawsuit. So, it was pretty funny. I think it's just a local musician trying to get himself some national press. He may be smart,
You've done quite well, but $400 billion, that's...
Exactly, that's a little bit out of the ballpark.
All righty. Okay, on to some reader questions here. A reader by the name of Blue Line wants to know which Bon Jovi album was the most fun to make and why. Also, which Bon Jovi album was the toughest to make?
They're all fun in different ways, but I think Slippery and Wet was probably the most fun to make because we were probably at, it was probably the largest singular move for us as a band. We really found our voice, because if you listen to our first two albums,
right,
we weren't really a band yet. We were a good live band, but we didn't have good songs yet. John and I really didn't find our chemistry as songwriters. When Slippery came along, not only did we move up to Vancouver, which we tore apart, they kicked us out of Vancouver. They didn't let us back in there for another couple of years after that. We had such a good time. But we made, the greatest record of our lives at that point. It was just a ball. And it was just the largest move. We went from shit to Shinola, basically. Hardest record to make? I don't know. Maybe Keep the Faith, because the band had taken a break there for a couple of years, and we were all burnt out. So actually putting the pieces back together again, and also in the midst of our absence, all of a sudden the whole music cycle had changed to grunge. To make that album with that adversity, and we also changed our manager, we started managing ourselves, which was a very bold move for a bunch of young cats. You know, so there was a lot of change going on the Keep the Faith record. So I think that was probably the hardest one to acclimate to and make.
A reader by the name of Richie's Swiss Girl wants to know, what instruments do you play on a regular basis except the guitar?
Really, piano, yeah. Piano would be probably, that's the other thing that I write on. So yeah, I don't play very well, but I don't know if anybody knows this, but I really started out playing accordion.
Oh.
But I couldn't get any bitches playing accordion, so I switched to guitar.
Not exactly the stuff of rock star dreams, huh?
Yep.
A reader by the name of I'm the King wants to know, what pedal setup do you use most often?
I don't use many pedals, honestly. I let the sound guy do most of the effects. I like to have the sound as pure as possible, but I do use an overdrive unit now called the Klon. That's a pedal that some guy makes in his garage that's just really, really good.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I just got wind of it during this last tour, and it's just a great overdrive pedal that doesn't suck the sound out of your amplifier or compress it too badly. A wah-wah. I obviously have my talk box in line when I need it, but that's not really taking anything. That's between the amp head and the speaker head. And what else do I have? I have a chorus pedal, I think. That's about it.
Pretty minimal.
Pretty minimal, yeah. I let the sound guy do all the effects. You know, I went to see Jeff Beck a few years back. In the late 80s and early 90s, I was using one of those crazy rigs that had all these effects in it and everything, and I was controlling everything on stage. And my sound was just so squashed and small, you know?
Yeah.
I went to see Jeff Beck one night, and I just looked at him. I said, what are you doing, man, besides being a genius and all the other stuff that he is, obviously? He says, yep, I'm just plugging, you know, I have an overdrive and a wah-wah, and I go straight into the head, and I use a cord. And, you know, the only time I use a wireless is when on the songs that I actually go out of my area on. And I basically have the whole right side of the stage to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and, you know, that's all my gear. So.
A reader by the name of Payon asks, you're not playing the acoustic guitar on the intro of Wanted Dead or Alive anymore. Is there any reason for this?
I think probably because we have so many more songs now and so many more great songs to stick in a set that people want to hear, that there's not that much time for it, you know? It just doesn't... Trust me, I play enough notes all night that I don't need to play anymore. You know, we play, we do a good, you know, 2 hours and 40 minutes. I'm playing solos on every song, man. I'm playing enough notes. So, you know, I used to do the acoustic suite to go out there and show off my Aldi Meola chops.
This next question is either going to be incredibly easy to answer or very hard. A reader by the name of Soph wants to know that in the whole 25 years that you guys have been together, what's been the most memorable moment?
Too hard to answer. I mean, it's impossible. I've been lucky enough to be fortunate enough in my career to have many, many tremendous moments. You know, obviously when you have your first hit single, that's a tremendous moment. The first time you headline an arena and kick its ass. The first time you headline a stadium. I mean, just this year, we got awarded by Billboard. We had the number one tour in the world.
That's right.
After 25 years.
Yeah.
We, you know, Springsteen came in second and Madonna came in third. And we're still around when everybody said, oh, they're going to be gone. You know, they're just a hair band or something.
A reader by the name of JB Baby Please said that he was lucky enough to have seen and met you at the Rock Hall tribute to Les Paul in November.
Mm-hmm.
And wants to know what Les Paul is really like.
Ah, he's, you know, besides being the genius that he is a really funny, witty individual, especially for being 93 years old. And he's one of my, obviously, I think he's my oldest living friend. He's, you know, I mean, him and I get along so well. We always did, you know, every time we get together, and we're talking about this when we saw each other, we just talk for hours. We never run out of things to say to each other. Him and I are on like the same wavelength as far as friendship goes, and obviously we have a lot to talk about when it comes to music and the music business and stuff like that, because he was a real innovator, not only from a music level, but a business level.
I imagine his stories must be just incredible.
Oh, and the stories are just phenomenal, you know. And he knows everybody. Yeah. I mean, you know, unbelievable.
Is he hip to what's going on in music now? I mean, does he still listen to what people are doing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but certainly it's not a point of our conversations.